All right, let's be taking your Bibles. Boy, that corner back there is full, ain't it? Ethan came in, I said, you might as well not go back there. There's no room to sit. But we're glad that you're all here tonight. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. We're going to read through verse 20. And tonight's going to be kind of like not so much an exposition in one text, because we're going to look at some selected texts tonight about the doctrine of believers' baptism. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. It's what we call the Great Commission, where Jesus invites us to be on mission with him in building his church. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. If you found your place, let's stand, if you will, for the reading of God's word. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, or the Greek says, as you go, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Father, tonight, teach us about this important doctrine in the church that, it's like all doctrines, have been watered down and we don't carry it out according to New Testament principles. So tonight, teach us from your word. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Baptism is a part of the Great Commission. By the way, we're called to go out as you go. A marketplace and workplace evangelism outside the four walls of this church. Yeah, sure, people come in and they hear the gospel and they get saved. That's great. But God's plan is for us to go out and tell, right? Then they come in and identify with Jesus Christ. And as soon as they do that, we baptize them, identifying them as a follower of Jesus Christ in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And after that, we teach them to observe all his commandments. We teach them how to live the Christian life. We teach them how to follow Christ. So baptism is what we call, y'all remember when I went through a series on Baptist distinctives? There's eight of them. And believers' baptism is one of them. And baptism is a distinctive of the local New Testament church, because not all people who claim the name of Christ and churches believe in immersion, but baptism is a Baptist distinctive. In fact, I want to share with you five aspects of that distinctive tonight, believers' baptism. And first of all, you see them on your screen, and we'll go through them quickly. Number one, baptism is for believers only. Baptism is for believers only. Only believers are to be baptized. Now, that excludes unbelievers, because they can't identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, because they can't identify with him in baptism, because they never died to self. They never been immersed into Christ. They've never been united with him. So how can they be baptized if they haven't died to sin and be raised to walk in the newness of life? And baptism is not for infants. There is nowhere in the New Testament where an infant was baptized. Now, we know some people who call themselves churches that do that, but infants cannot, they're in a position where they can't believe or disbelieve. They don't know, right? And so we do not practice infant baptism. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, day of Pentecost. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The word added there, I told you before, means joined. They joined the first church at Jerusalem. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, and listen to this, very important now. He says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. So belief is a condition for baptism. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So baptism is for believers only. Number two, baptism is by immersion. Immersion is the only acceptable mode of baptism. Sprinkling and pouring is not scriptural baptism. Now, the word baptizo teaches immersion in itself. Baptize is a, let me throw something big on you here, is a transliteration of the Greek word meaning to dip or to baptize, to immerse. Matthew 3:16, we're looking at the Lord's baptism. He knew no sin, but he did it to fulfill all of the law, and he did it also to so that we could identify with him. In Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the other, so out of the water. So he went up straightway out of the water. John the Baptist fully immersed him in the River Jordan. In Acts chapter 8, verse 38, the Bible says, and they went down both into the water. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. So the proper mode of baptism requires a complete identification with the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we say, well, we don't believe in immersion. Well, did Christ die or did he not? Was Christ buried, right? So if we're going to fully identify with him, we also too have to be buried in the baptismal waters. The other modes, I'm not saying anybody can't be saved by being sprinkling, but I'm saying you pervert the picture that it's supposed to display. And when we baptize, in a few moments, when we take Ethan down into the water, if his head don't hit the sprinkler there, the thing, I've been working on that. How am I going to get him slid down? But when he goes down into the water, right, symbolizing Christ died, symbolizing the old man has died with us and raised to walk in the newness of life. So baptism doesn't save, but we identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. So baptism is for believers only. Baptism is by immersion, but then baptism is a testimony. It is not a step in receiving Christ, but rather it's a testimony that one has already received Christ. In a few moments, we're going to publicly baptize this young man, and it's going to show that 2 weeks ago he received Christ into his heart, right? It's not a step to salvation, it's a step of obedience. The first thing a believer should do is identify with Jesus in the baptismal waters. It's a step of obedience. It identifies us with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I take you to Acts chapter 36. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou might be saved. Thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He identified with the one that he believed in. So baptism is for believers only. It's by immersion. It's a testimony. And baptism is a requirement for church membership. Now, there are a lot of churches that get off track right here. Don't require baptism for church membership. You just want to join us, just come on in, you know. But baptism is a requirement for church membership. Believer's baptism is by immersion, and it is a requirement to unite with a local New Testament church. Now, the first requirement, of course, for church membership is to be saved. All we go by is what the person tells us, but we're not into dipping and immersing unregenerate people. It is for those who have identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the second requirement is church membership. You notice I said a while ago that they were joined unto them. They united unto them. And so there's salvation, there's baptism, identifying with Christ, and then we're received into the local fellowship. And that gives us an opportunity to carry out what church membership requires. Both baptism and the Lord's Supper are the two ordinances of the church that God has given to the local church. And whether it's baptism or whether it's the Lord's Supper, God has designed that it be administered by the local church and the gathered church, I might say. And we left that also. It is a church ordinance for the church and the gathered church. Okay? So Acts chapter 2, verse 38, let's read that again. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of the sins. The Greek says because of, or since you've had your sins forgiven, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. Church membership is important. Can I get an amen there? Amen. I haven't asked for an amen tonight, have I? So I've been good. It's important. And I think that we ought to unite wherever we get our spiritual food so that we can use our spiritual gifts and receive spiritual gifts as well from other people, right? So when you obey the Lord in baptism, you're united with the local church that authorizes it, right? And are able to serve under the authority of the local New Testament church. I want to stop right here and tell you this is something else that we've lost. All ministry is done under the authority of the local New Testament church. You can't be a Lone Ranger and just go out there and do your own thing. And it has to come through the authority of the local New Testament church. And well, that's why we receive people into our membership. How are they going to come under the authority of the pastor and the church if they don't unite with the local fellowship, right? And so it's a Baptist distinctive here. And then number five, baptism is a picture of being in Christ. Now, I'm just going to read one little passage for you, and then I'm going to close with four more. Romans chapter 6 is a picture of our identification with Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know you not that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, or were baptized into his death? See, when Christ died on the Calvary and our faith in him, we immersed into his death. We identify with him. Now, we're not going to die on the cross, but we identify with his death that we also too have died, okay? So we got to remember that. That's very important. He says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, okay? And as like Christ was raised from the dead, the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. There it is right there. It's a picture of our being in Christ. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. And praise God for this, folks. This is how we know the resurrection of the believer is going to take place. He says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen? Amen. We're going to be raised. So it's a picture not only of being in Christ, but it's also in the baptism of waters is a picture of spirit baptism. It's a picture that we have been immersed with the Spirit. We have been indwelt with the Spirit. And it's a picture of God, Jesus Christ, the agent being the Holy Spirit, placing us in the body of Christ. All that, I forget the passage right away, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, but we identify with Christ, and he immerses us into the body of Christ. You are in the body of Christ when you got saved. Now, I want to close with four powerful passages. Some are going to refute some things, and some are going to clarify some things. First one, and you're invited to turn with me there, Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. You might want to turn there. I want everybody to see this. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, you know what it says. And I'll give you a little bit of time to get there. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, how does it say we're saved there? By grace through faith. The grace of God that has been extended to us and our faith expressed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody understand it? That's pretty plain. That rules out everybody that does not believe that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the Scriptures alone. Okay? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. What does that mean? That means that we don't work for it, we don't earn it, we don't add one human work to it. It's by grace through faith, right? It's a gift of God. Even the grace that was extended, even the faith that I believed in Jesus, is all a gift. That's what it says right there. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Other passage, you might want to turn there if you will, in Mark chapter 16. And we got counting this one, we got three more to go. So y'all hang on. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. There are a lot of Bible scholars that say that passage shouldn't be in the New Testament, but it's in mine, so I'll preach it. Amen. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus again said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves to every creature. Verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I've got to believe and I've got to be baptized. That's what the text says. Well, baptism was a synonym of salvation. There was no such thing in the early church as a believer who was not baptized. But notice what it says. many like to stop there and quote that, but let's read further. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Does it say there that if you're not baptized, you're damned? No, it says if you believe not, you're damned, right? So the believers believe and they get baptized, and then the Bible says very plainly, but he that believeth not shall... What determines whether we're damned or not? Whether or not we believed, right? It's very plain in that text, isn't it? Now go with me. Well, you don't go there. We've done been already there. Acts chapter 2, 38. Let me read it to you. Then Peter said unto them, repent. See, a lot of churches wanting to take repentance out of salvation. Repentance, we must admit that we're sinners and we need saving. We must turn from our sin and turn toward God, right? Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the scriptures say. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, or since your sins have been forgiven, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, listen to this, and to all that are afar off, even as many the Lord our God shall call. You know, we could, if baptism saved you, I'd go round up a busload tonight. Amen? And we'd baptize all of them. But notice here, it's those that the Lord has called and believed. Okay? Now, the last passage is a very difficult passage, but let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. And we're talking about the doctrine of believers' baptism. When I was saved, I was spirit baptized by the Holy Spirit. I didn't see it happen. God says it happens. He indwells me. He places me in the body of Christ. That's God's work. But I go into the waters of baptism voluntarily because I'm identifying with him in the local church. And by the way, in the early church, when a member of the early church was baptized, that almost assured them that they may lose their life in the early century. Okay? So, Ethan, I don't think you got to worry about tonight just yet. Now, it may come a day in this country where you do, but not tonight. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Notice what it says, not the putting away of the flesh, filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this passage is teaching that just as Noah was saved from the wrath of God, raft of the water, he was in the safety of the ark, which is a picture of Jesus Christ, saved from the water, the flood, that brought the raft of God, that we are saved from our guilty conscience, the text says, by our faith in him and our union with Christ. We were immersed into his death. That's what, if you look at the context of that verse, that's what it's talking about. So water baptism does not wash away the filthy sins of the flesh. I mean, the text tells us that. Did y'all read that? But it symbolizes, King James uses the word prefigure, that our sins have already been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ and our faith in him. That's the doctrine of believers' baptism. I was hoping some more would be here tonight to hear this, that some that needed to really hear it and these issues. Now, by the way, I've got a handout in the foyer on infant baptism, why baptism doesn't save us. And just pick those up, take them, read them, and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. So I believe we're a local New Testament church. I believe we're a sound church. I believe that we adhere to the doctrines of Scripture, not Baptist doctrine. We're Baptist because we believe that Baptists are close to the teaching of the New Testament. But we believe that we're a sound church that preaches and practices the Word of God and requires and practices immersion by believers only. So if we're a local New Testament church, then tonight we carry out that command as we baptize Brother Ethan Lane, right? And we're not going to have an invitation tonight.